Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey. Baby, you're so mellow today.
It's because someone has to balance out you.
You can't do that.
No, because I'd have to be dead to counterbalance the amount of...
That just doesn't sound right.
...a vibe you're putting out today, baby.
Positive, happy vibes?
It's not really. It's just a lot for me.
Right, you're like now. The acoustic insulation you put on the walls of a podcast studio to absorb all the happiness.
Oh, that was so mean. See, that's why you're a lot to deal with right now. Because you think you're just fun and fresh and friendly. But everything is a diss on me.
Uh-oh.
A long, complicated...
Oh, no, that's
not
true.
You just basically said I was a suck the happiness out of the room.
That's not what I said.
That's exactly what you said.
Yeah, but right before that, I told you how sexy you were.
Nope, you didn't.
So, I told you what I wanted to do.
That's not the same thing. So,
but it's only because... Damn.
You are driving me poopy.
You're making me a little... Oh.
Okay.
Right now, like,
so speaking of sucking things up.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
On Ranker, there's this random thought that we didn't get to use. A random story that we didn't get to use in our live podcast last Friday. Thanks, everyone who listened to that.
Hell yeah, thank you very much.
Loving the strange. Where you get to see our faces as Sean interrupts me. The point here is that this is a really cool story. Ready? Are you ready?
Oh, there's going to be a long pause, so I make sure I'm not interrupting, but yes, I am ready.
So this is from Ranker, and we'll have the link in the podcast, and it's basically a bunch of creepy woods stories, but one of them is this one, and it's about campers being sucked up by aliens. Sucked up. So
campers being sucked off by
nope, that's not. And now we have an explicit.
No way. There's no explicity in there.
Explicity. Anyways, so
that'd be a much better title.
Here you go. So we were camping around different areas of the U.S., hitting 13 states. It wasn't a trip with a firm itinerary, and we drove through Amish country in Indiana, despairing that we wouldn't find a campground as it was late in the day. You gotta stop moving, Shawnee.
Okay.
But in the middle of Amish country, we found a lovely campground with a nice big pond for swimming. We were the weirdos who do tent camping, and you had to drive down past this field to the tent camping area. There was a nice forested area, and we had it to ourselves. Here comes the really odd part. There was another occupied campsite down there, but it looked like the people had been beamed up by aliens. Food was left out. Bottles of mustard, mayo, and plates were on and around the picnic table. The one tent was blown over, but the other was still firmly staked. We mentioned this to the campsite staff, and they said, "Oh, that's just so-and-so's spot." He was supposed to look after all the tent spots, and they had no idea that he wasn't there. We wondered if someone was dead in the tents, so we cautiously checked. No dead bodies, just sleeping bags, etc. So, aliens. Yeah, man.
That's a good story, but I mean, it's really explainable. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
But I like the premise.
I like that they thought it was like an alien, right?
I mean, you know, if there was like hot dogs on the table that were still warm enough to eat, then I could go with it for sure.
There's another one. There's two more that are pretty fun, right? One is in Florida, which is where you come from.
Yes.
And this person was on a camping trip at the Suwannee River Music Park, right?
Yeah.
And he and his sister went off and explored some, like, trails. It's 11 at night, right?
Yeah.
And there's a trail connected to the one they're on, but there's yellow tape strung up between two trees, so they don't go in. So they're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't go in. But then they go in because they're kids. And so about 15 steps into the trail, quote, we both hear, clear as day, unmistakably, our mother's voice say, honey, why is your nose bleeding? Our mother was not on this trip with us.
Damn!
So we turn around to see nothing. And being kind of spooked, we both started to head back to the main trail. A few minutes later, my sister had a nosebleed that lasted like 20 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good story there.
And here's my final one. Ready?
Yeah.
So this person was on a camping trip in Colorado, and they were in a tent with two friends, and it was a pretty small tent, so it was like there were sardines in the tent, right?
Yeah.
And this person's not in the middle. But in the morning, they woke up, and they felt warm bodies on either side of them. Quote, I thought maybe I had somehow rolled over into the middle, but when I opened my eyes, the tent wall was still on my side, meaning there was something outside.
That's awesome.
Sleeping against the side of my tent. I was somewhat petrified, but leaned over to wake up my friends, and whatever it was took off. It was definitely some kind of animal, but to this day, it mystifies me that a wild animal, even a young deer, would bed down next to humans.
That's really cool. I like that story.
That is an amazing story to me.
Yeah, this was like, Sasquatch, dude. He's looking for some body heat.
I want to be like, did it smell? What did it smell like? Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, their friends probably stank so much they couldn't tell. I know there's so many details I want.
Yeah.
I want all the details.
I mean, you could have probably identified the animal from any track.
Yeah, man.
I mean, if it was an 18-inch
human. Don't pick on yourself.
I'm tightening up my bracelets you got me. All
right.
If it was like an 18-inch humanoid footprint, then that'd be exciting.
That'd be so cool. So cool.
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot gets cold.
He wants body heat.
Or maybe he was being nice. Maybe he's like, I'm super furry.
I'm gonna warm with this person.
These poor little hairless humans. Let's get them warm. So here we go. There's a dog looking behind us. Licking. I don't know.
Oh, he's licking his leg.
He's a licker.
He's licking his leg.
All right, so this podcast, in its helpful way, is about how Sean moves in the chair, making lots of squeaky noises.
Hey, man. I can't help it.
Uh-huh.
Someday, maybe, I'll be able to afford a new chair.
I don't think so, because I'm going to need a desk first.
Yours doesn't make any noise.
My desk is breaking.
But your $8,000 chair doesn't make any squeaks.
He's not listening.
Your desk isn't breaking. It's missing a handle.
Missing
a handle. It's got a bump in it from the summertime water glasses.
I know,
glasses.
But there's holes in the bump.
Well, stop picking at it.
All right. So anyways, habits.
Just put some Mod Podge paper on it. Habits.
One of my habits might be
rolling her eyes at her husband.
No, getting interrupted. So a lot of writers that I work with have a problem, right? And the problem is that they want to be a writer, but before they come to me, they don't write.
What?
Yeah.
How can they come to you without writing?
This happens a lot.
Okay.
So here's the thing. For a lot of us, we have to make the time to be a writer. And that's just how our brains and our process works, right? So like a lot of writers who want to be a writer can't find the time to write.
I understand that.
So there are some writers who manage to get like 10 days of alone time and writer time, and they power through a book in that time.
In 10 days?
Yep, but most of us aren't that lucky or wealthy to be able to do that, right? And that means that to be a writer, we have to create the habit of writing. Did that make sense to you?
Oh, hell yeah. Like if you're sitting on the toilet, right? No. You can put Word on your phone. You can write.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Now, every book I read, I'm going to be like, did this writer write this on the toilet?
I mean,
were they taking a poopy when they wrote this lovely saga about the dragons and the fairies having sex?
You just interrupted me four times.
I was already talking, and then you interrupted.
Anyways, that reminded me that I haven't even played Wordle yet.
Well, gosh, you know what? That was so important. That was so important to the podcast right there. People, that was right in the forward motion of helping people learn about habits. Wow.
Well, people that know me intimately, namely you, know that there's a backstory to me not having played Wordle yet.
You haven't poopied yet?
Yes.
Okay. So,
all day.
Okay. Now, wonderful. Once again, super helpful. Super helpful.
It's
right?
A habit.
Honey.
What? Ugh. I'm sorry.
I don't really feel like you are, honestly.
I'm so deeply mortified at my behavior.
Oh, my God.
I cannot express to you.
Okay, so in order to be a writer, you have to create the habit of writing. And that's where this guy named James Clear has this method, and it comes into play. And he's built this entire empire around people and helping people create habits that are good for them. And he believes that there are four steps to creating a habit. You ready, honey?
I'm so ready.
Those steps are...
Cue.
Oh, God.
Craving. Response. And reward.
So this man has a ton of books and information all over the internet and bookshelves about this, but basically, very, very, very basically, what he defines each as is the cue.
This triggers your brain to do the behavior. He writes, it is a bit of information that predicts a reward. Our prehistoric ancestors were paying attention to cues that signaled the location of primary rewards like food, water, and sex.
Oh. You're not getting any of those primary rewards tonight.
Today, we spend most of our time learning cues that predict secondary rewards like money and fame, power and status, praise and approval, love and friendship, or a sense of personal satisfaction.
I think that's the only thing that you cue about all the time.
What?
Like personal satisfaction? Yeah, you're like, I'm going to be funny, so I'm gonna satisfy my desire to make Carrie feel bad. And so then you make
that's not the desire.
Joke,
the desire
and you get satisfied
to make
about
myself
it
laugh.
At my expense.
No.
And at the listener's expense.
No listener Wordle believes
potty
it.
Story.
None of our listeners believe them, bad guy. Stop your fight. What's the next one, baby?
The next one is the craving.
This is the motivation, the force, the desire, the reason to act. He writes, what you crave is not the habit itself, but the change in state it delivers. You do not crave smoking a cigarette. You crave the feeling of, of relief it provides.
Oh, my God.
Hey, listen. Not motivated by brushing your teeth, but rather by the feeling of a clean mouth. You do not want to turn on the television. You want to be entertained.
So the next one is the response. And this is a habit. It might be sitting at your desk at 8 p.m. every night and writing. It might be writing 250 words during lunch or waiting to pick up your kid from swim practice. It might be Sean sitting on the toilet playing Wordle. It's the habit itself in his world. Is the response, according to Clear, right?
Yes.
So, he writes...
Whether a response occurs depends on how motivated you are and how much friction is associated with that behavior. If a particular action requires more physical or mental effort than you're willing to expend, then you won't do it. Your response also depends on your ability. It sounds simple, but a habit can occur only if you are capable of doing it. If you want to dunk a basketball, but you can't jump high enough to reach the hoop, well, you're out of luck, he writes.
I said he wrote it at the beginning, so you didn't have to say that at the beginning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'll forgive you.
Okay, thank you very much.
So the reward. So the final one is the reward, and these are the things that satisfy our craving. He writes,
rewards are the goal of every habit. We chase rewards because they serve two purposes. They satisfy us and they teach us.
So we sit down and we write every day and eventually we get a book and that would be our reward. And that's super simplified, but whatever, right? But there's also that second part that he mentions about how they teach us, right? Those rewards. And he writes,
rewards teach us which actions are worth remembering in the future. Your brain is a reward detector. As you go about your life, your sensory nervous system is continuously monitoring which actions satisfy your desires and deliver pleasure. Feelings of pleasure and disappointment are part of the feedback mechanism that helps your brain distinguish useful actions from useless ones. Rewards close the feedback loop and complete the habit cycle.
So to build a habit, he says, to change your behavior, you want to think of each step, he calls them laws, to do the behaviors. The keys, he said, are these, all direct from the post, linked above and below in our podcast notes at carriejonesbooks.blog or Living Happy on Substack, right?
Yes.
And so he says, how to create a good habit. The first law, cue.
Make it obvious.
The second law, craving.
Make it attractive.
The third law, response.
Make it easy.
The fourth law, reward.
Make it satisfying.
So you can invert these laws as well to learn how to break a bad habit. So if you want to break a habit, like watching TV every night.
Make it invisible. I'm sorry.
You invert those laws. So if you invert the first one of cue, you...
Make it invisible.
If you invert the second one, craving...
Make it unattractive.
If you invert the third one, response...
Make it difficult.
And if you invert the fourth, reward...
Make it unsatisfying.
So it's really pretty cool stuff. And you should probably check out his book or site if you're really into the system and it kind of rings true for you, right?
Yes.
But for writers especially, his clues on how to break bad habits and build new ones are really just kind of wonderful. Like if you give yourself a really obvious clue that it's time to write... like an alarm or a notification or a specific time of day, and then you make it attractive. Maybe you light a candle, you put on music you actually really like, you put on your headphones so you don't have to listen to your husband, whatever. And then you make it easy, like make small word count or revision goals, and then you make it satisfying, right?
Yep.
And that's how you, like, that's the big key, I think, for most of us.
That sounds pretty good. It sounds way better than what you didn't really explain to me the other night when you were reading about this stuff.
Well, I didn't want to bore you. That's true.
It wouldn't have been new, exciting information for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for thinking of me, babe.
Are you going to do that?
Do what?
Oh, my Lord. Make
some... What we just talked about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
No, you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
You're totally lying.
Not at all. Because you know what? Is my reward for all things in life? Your happiness. And if I can achieve that in any one thing, I always feel fulfilled.
Oh my God. You're like a snake oil salesman.
You really just interrupted me by laughing right there. People didn't even hear what I said.
Yes, they did. He lied and said that
your happiness is my ultimate pleasure. Done!
Oh, honey.
Tip for life!
That was so loud, baby.
It's always loud, honey.
It doesn't have to be. No, no.
I want the people to be able to hear it.
You
want to
kill their ears.
You're always telling me to get closer to the speaker.
No, I'm always telling you to stop moving in your chair.
That I can't help. I'm twitchy.
Okay, twitchy. I'm going to call you twitchy.
Don't call me twitchy.
Sorry. Oh no, I'm cackling.
Okay. So Pogie's thing, you know, our puppy Pogie, anxiety-ridden, reactive dog.
Has some anxiety.
She actually works by that cue system.
She works by the cue system.
She does.
Okay.
Because she makes things that she wants attractive to you, like this. Like her, she'll come and sit next to you and stare at you, and then if you don't react, she'll maybe actually stand up on her hind legs and put her paws on your shoulders and lick your face until your skin bleeds. And to avoid that, you will get up and go get her a treat.
No, that's not because I'm avoiding it.
It's because you want her to stop the behavior.
No, it's because I think she's so cute and she wants it so bad. Well, either way. And she's just so adorable. And then how do I resist those puppy dog eyes?
She's trained you.
I know her.
To take the cue, fulfill her craving, and give her a reward.
Yep. She could teach you a thing or two.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
You don't do crap when I lick your face.
No, because that's not... You push me away. That's not the cue for you.
What's the cue for me?
the cue for you is treating me with respect.
Yeah.
Not interrupting me.
Yeah.
Touches that don't have to do with sex. Listening to me when I talk without rolling your eyes or looking at the ceiling like you are right now.
I'm looking towards the heaven for guidance.
Doing projects in the house. And there you go.
Are you freaking
kidding me? Oh, bringing in some money. What?
I'll go with the bringing in some money because I'm a worthless bum, but doing projects. What did I.
Worthless.
Granted, I haven't done much projects other than cook dinner in the house today.
I helped.
But yesterday I made 2 runs to the dump for unspecified reasons that had mostly nothing to do with me.
Or me.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, like, the wood trim is rotting, and the dogs broke this
spindle. The wood trim thing is a money issue, okay? We're going to have to pay somebody to do all that stuff.
We have money to do that.
Anyways, the spindle thing. The spindle got broken, like, 3 days ago.
Can we end the podcast so I can go look at my bank account?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Well, you just panicked me.
You got the same amount of money as you did yesterday. Maybe more.
I don't know what I did yesterday.
Oh, I can't say it now. I mean, jeez.
If you would like to subscribe or donate to our
podcast. What's a couple million between friends?
Oh my God, I'm so poor.
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, do you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can.